Welcome back, Joan. Thanks so much for being here with us today. It's been a slow period. Pope Benedict is still out in Castel Gandolfo at the papal summer residence. However, we did see a few events over the past week. Most notably, perhaps, the Pope's visit to Viterbo and Bagnoregio in Italy's central Lazio region. And so for the Pope, it was a bit of a return to the city of the Popes, this medieval location in Viterbo, where many of the Popes were located back in the 1200s, I believe.
Well, and he also noted that actually Viterbo, a very beautiful city, as a matter of fact, Viterbo, five popes were elected there, and four popes are buried there. And so it is justly called the City of Popes. And he mentioned those who were born in the area. This is northern Lazio, as you said, a central region in Italy. St. Leo the Great was born there, Pope Sabinian, now whom I had not heard of. So there's always, if we can't learn one thing every day, it's been a day wasted. Pope Sabinian, and he succeeded St. Gregory the Great, and then Paul III was born there. And then Benedict also recalled the period in the second half of the 13th century when Viterbo became the residence of Roman pontiffs. And again, that's when he said five of his predecessors were elected and four of them are buried there. And the Holy Father said that because Viterbo is justly called the City of Popes, he said, for you, the people of Viterbo in the area, this is a further stimulus to live and bear witness to your Christian faith. And what I was trying to remember, I was not here, as you know, I just returned from the States 2 days ago. I was not here to cover the Pope's visit, but I was trying to remember if Viterbo was not the city where they were going to elect a Pope, and it took so very, very long, a year or 2 years, some incredible period of time.
No, that's true.
They locked them in. They locked them into the room, and then, you know, you're not coming out until, I think that's maybe where a locked conclave actually began. And of course, they couldn't eat. They couldn't have, you know, water or anything else like that until they actually elected a pope. And believe me, that'll make you elect a pope swiftly.
Oh, so. Of course. Well, yes, except it did take them 33 months, I believe it was.
I thought it was in the area of a couple of years or more to finally elect the Pope. I'm just going off the top of my head on this, but I do remember one time when I took a train from Rome to Viterbo to spend the day that someone locally told me the story. But that must have been kind of nice for Pope Benedict to get out. And he is a man who loves to write, who loves the solitude, not solitude, but having the time to write, to reflect. He's preparing his trip at the end of September to the
Czech Republic,
mm-hmm, exactly, mm-hmm, for 3 days. But it's also very nice to be out with the faithful, as he was on this trip, and to again, be immersed in. He is, of course, the Vicar of Christ. He's the head of the Catholic Church. This is his flock. Wherever he goes, and there are Catholics, that Christians, that is his flock. So I'm sure that was a nice break, and he's looking forward to, as I said, the Czech Republic. But there have been, he did come, Pope Benedict did come back to Rome this week for the general audience. And that was in the Paul VI Hall. And I must say, I went across St. Peter's Square in the middle, well, it must have been towards noon, 11:30 or noon, when the audience had been finished. And you could just tell there were huge numbers of people in St. Peter's Square. Many of them had come from the audience, which you can always tell because there's, you know, 35 people wearing yellow bandanas around their neck and other people. People seem to have, like, uniforms or banners or whatever. So, and the Pope did talk. You know, he's continuing his catechesis on theologians and great writers of the of the 12th century and so forth. And he really highlighted a name that's probably more familiar to a lot of our listeners than some of the other people that the Pope spoke about in the past weeks, and that's St. Peter Damian. And, of course, he said he's a monk, a lover of solitude, and overall an intrepid man of the Church who played a leading role in the reforms undertaken by the popes of the time. And I think he was born in, I'm trying to remember the year he was born in, but I know that he was also very big in the Church Reformation. And 1007 to 1072, he died in 1072. And then you've got the split between the East and the West in 1054. So St. Peter Damian was very instrumental in helping. The Pope had made him a cardinal, the cardinal bishop of Ostia, and Damian stayed with the Pope for 10 years, helping him, and part of which was in this period of the break between the Great Schism between the East and the West. And I mean, we still have the results of that today. We've got the, you know, the Latin Catholic Church with
in
its
Rome. Mm-hmm.
in Rome, of course, with the Holy Father in Rome, and then you have the Orthodox and the Orthodox Christians in Constantinople, known today, of course, as Istanbul. So, and then interestingly enough, the Pope did point out how much St. Peter begged the Pope for whom he was, with whom he was collaborating, he begged him to return to his beloved monastery because he really wanted to give himself in prayer more than anything else to the Church, knowing the effectiveness of prayer. Now, the Pope had asked him, one thing St. Peter Damian did for the Pope was, or various popes actually in that period of time, was to make many, many trips and missions. In fact, he died in 1072, returning from a mission to a mission of creating peace with the Bishop of Ravenna. Anyway, there's many, many things to talk about. You know, with St. Peter Damian, we don't have the time, but of course, Vatican Radio always dedicates a lot of time to that on Wednesday. And but I do think one of the most important things, which we can forget in our daily, busy, noisy, frenetic lives, is what the Pope did stress about Peter Damian, his love of prayer, was the fact that we have to find quiet time in our own lives. You know, we have to create those periods every day when we're not listening to television or radio or being busy with other busy things, but we have to find time to listen to God. You know, sometimes we say, but God doesn't speak to me. Well, are we listening, I think, is kind of what the Pope wanted to say.
So as we mentioned before, the Pope is going back and forth for the audiences here in the Vatican. He's flying in the helicopter,
right?
On Wednesday mornings, but he is still in Castel Gandolfo. And is that where he's meeting the bishops from Brazil who are here on their ad limina
visit? That's my understanding. Well, anybody that he meets with, he has very few audiences, obviously, in this period, but all of them do go out to Castel Gandolfo, and it's my understanding that that's what they're meeting with the Pope. And of course, there's many wonderful rooms in the palace. I've only been in a few, and I dedicated an extensive blog this summer when I was away a bit, of my blog, Joan's Rome, to Castel Gandolfo, its history, the buildings, the gardens, and so forth. But there is a building that I was in myself many decades ago, I must tell you. There was an audience I attended in the summer with Paul VI. And I've never been in this room ever since. Do not know what its name is. I just remember it being a long, rectangular, very modern hall with glass windows that arose at a certain halfway up the wall or more on both sides of this, the long sides of this rectangular room, you know, light just streaming in. And I remember going into the audience in one of the, this was at a time when Pope Paul VI was carried into the hall. And so they carried him in, they set him down, he sat in this chair, and then the sediari, the bearers who brought him in, they go to one side. And anyway, as I got there for the audience an hour or so before the Pope came, this, I didn't know what this man was at the time, but one of the gentlemen of His Holiness came and took my arm and brought me up to the front row.
Oh,
I know. I was absolutely stunned. I didn't know how a papal audience worked or anything else.
Were you working already for the Vatican Information
Service then? No, not at all. I had been in Rome a year. As a matter of fact, I was working for my university, St. Mary's of Notre Dame, in their Rome program for a year. And so I just had asked for, wouldn't it be wonderful? I'm in Rome, go to a papal audience. And as I say, it was the summertime. And so anyway, I'm in the front row. And what was really extraordinary was that as the audience was finished, and this could be, again, the hall where the Pope meets the bishops, or the hall of the Svizzeri, Sala dei Svizzeri, the hall of the Swiss. Anyway, so the Pope gets, at the end of the audience, Pope Paul gets in his chair, and the sediari are just about to lift him off, and he kind of raises his hand like, oh, wait a minute, I just thought of something, and they put him back down. He got off, and he came over to where I was, the front row of that I was in. It was obviously not to see me. I didn't know that at the time, of course, but anyway.
He was making a beeline for Joe.
Yes, he was.
Right?
Actually, he was making a beeline for my neighbor, who it turned out was the, you know, daughter of a long-serving diplomat to the Holy See. And I had talked to her earlier, so I knew what she did, you know, who she was and so forth. And, of course, you get the typical picture taken. It wasn't till eons afterwards that I knew we could get copies of those pictures. Hmm. And by the time I went, I never did get a copy of it. I'm still looking for that copy. So
I'm sure we could arrange that.
I'll try and find
somehow.
It. But anyway, I'm sure that that's where they are, and I wish I knew the name of the hall at Costa Gandolfo. Haven't been back since.
All right. Well, we better talk quickly about one other event in the Vatican before we run out of time.
Right.
What would you like to speak about?
Well, I think that we just might want to mention very briefly, maybe not the content, but the press conference that was held on Thursday morning, September 10th, at 11:30 in the John Paul II Hall. That's, of course, part of the Holy See Press Office. And this was a press conference to present the Pope's encounter with artists on November 21st of this year. This is 10 years after John Paul II's letter to artists of April 1999, of course, before the Jubilee year, and the 45th anniversary of Paul VI's encounter with artists in the Sistine Chapel. Don't you love it? May of 1964. So we had the Archbishop John Franco Rovazzi, president of the Pontifical Council of Culture, and the director of the Vatican Museums, Antonio Paolucci. And a very, very interesting press conference. We can look for more news for that November encounter.
Very good. All right. Well, thanks so much, Joan. It's been a pleasure having you again here.
Good to
studio.
Be back. Thanks.
Bye-bye. And a very warm thanks there again to Joan Lewis, Rome Bureau Chief for EWTN and a longtime collaborator with us here at Vatican Radio.